invite you to open the Word of God this morning, Mark chapter number 1. To be praying for those who are sick and sickly. We've got some families that are out in the hospital, the Edblums. How do you pronounce it? Ed or Ed? Edblums. Sorry about that. Thank you. And Edlin, is that how you pronounce Reva?
Yeah, Edlin.
Okay, thank you. So Edblum and Edlin. So been praying for Beverly. She's in the hospital. Was able to pray and visit with her a little bit, and sister Joe Edblum. Be praying for them. They were also going to do our special music this morning, but they're all out. So you're stuck with the preaching. I get 5 extra minutes. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Let me invite you to stand to your feet for the reading of the word of the Lord this morning. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. I have tremendously, if that's the correct word, enjoyed going thus far in our study through the gospel according to Mark, all the way from the baptism of the Jordan River of Christ, to the temptation of Christ, the preaching of Christ. He heals a man who was in a synagogue, which was the church of that day, who had a demon inside of him, and healed him right there in front of everybody. And then we looked in from verse 29 of the first chapter of a great fever, how he healed someone with a fever. And I talked and kind of broke that down and looked at it as a spiritual fever that we have, the great fever. Thank God he can heal big sicknesses and little sicknesses, big problems and little problems. Little problems can be big problems if not corrected soon. Amen. Now we're going to go in verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, it's totally up to you. I don't have the power to fix this myself. It's not what I will. It's what you will, Jesus. If you are willing, if you would have the desire, if it is, it's totally up to you, Christ. You can make me clean. Boy, that's some belief, amen. That's some faith. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. And saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, praise God, immediately, not tomorrow, not next week, not through some steps of medication, but immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Salvation is something that happens immediately. Before you get baptized, when you get saved, it happens immediately. When you were born into this world, there was a time when you went behind closed doors and you were brought forth out of your mother's womb immediately. There is a process to the physical birth, but there is an immediacy to the spiritual birth. You are born immediately into the family of God. It is something that happens immediately. Your sins are wiped off immediately. And immediately you're saved and forever sealed with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Might do some preaching this morning. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. And saith unto them, see thou say nothing to any man. It's kind of odd. See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and published it much. And he blazed abroad the whole matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. The message is very simple. Jesus heals a leper. Jesus heals a leper. Father, we thank you for the healing power. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you can heal diseases. But Lord, we understand that the real disease is sin, the leprosy of sin. Father, if it goes untreated, if you do not have the will, Lord, or you do not have the touch, nothing can solve the root issue of the leprosy of sin. We thank God that you've touched us and changed us. Help us to make it public what you've done in our lives. Bless the preaching. Bless the hearing of it. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you, congregation. You may be seated. The word leprosy is a disease. I think today we call it Hansen's disease. It's not as prevalent as we have today due to the increase in blessings of modern medication. But leprosy is something that comes upon your flesh. It's a bacterious issue that attacks the flesh and the body, and it literally eats away at the flesh. While you may have touched something or got around somebody that got it and it rubbed up on you, you may have been somebody that washed your hands and lived a good moral life and did all these things, but it just happened to come upon you. You may be a dirty person and it just happens to come up on you. And what happens is that once it gets on you, it starts to slowly eat away at your skin. You start noticing some white on your skin, these spots and speckles. And then it turns into a cluster. And the next thing you know, it's starting to turn into blood blisters. And the next thing you know, it's decaying. And your fingers start to wear off. And it turns into nubs. And then your fingers literally go all the way off. And you just got a blank palm. And then that spreads. And now you have less of a hand at all. And then it comes up the forearm. And it slowly, you begin to literally rot to death. Leviticus chapter 14. In the Mosaic law, when a person had leprosy, they were ostracized and extricated from the society. They were to be cast out. They were not allowed to come into the public. They were to be left out into the deserts to die alone. And often one leper, when he would get it, he'd go and there would be a little colony of lepers. And he'd go out and hang out with other lepers, forsaken and forgotten by God in the world, it would seem. And I want you to know, sin is very much like leprosy. Lepers have to hang out with other lepers. Amen, that's right. Sinners, they don't hang out with going to church. Why, they go out and they go hang around with other sinners. Why? Because it justifies the evil that they do in their life. All sin, it comes short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, the Bible says. No, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned unto our every way. Here's the big secret. I'm going to take the plastic off of everything. You look nice and pretty this morning. I'm glad you're here. But it's time to do business with God. You are a sinner. And so am I. And these lepers were out here outside of the city. My friends, the Bible says that they wanted to go in and get something to eat. They wanted to go to McDonald's to get them something to eat. They wanted to go to Dairy Queen to get something to eat. Some of you are starting to listen now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And they want to go to Cracker Barrel and get a to-go order. They had to go in and out. The Bible says they had to cover their faces. They weren't allowed to show any of their skin. They were to come in fully clothed. If somebody come up to them, they'd have to shout out, Brother Stephen tries to come up to me and talk to me, and he didn't know I had the leprosy. I'd have to say, unclean, unclean, you can't, oh, stay back. That was the law. There was a time when Jesus was walking through a little town called Capernaum. Praise God. The Bible says that as he was walking through, he was doing all kind of crazy things, amen. Healing lepers and raising people from the dead and restoring sight to the blind. He was saving old sinners, is what he was doing. And he was showing these great miracles to back up his preaching and to back up his message. The miracles support the message of Christ. They're not an end to themselves, but they supported everything that he said. This man had come to him with a bad condition, lost, hopeless, inevitable death. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But the gift of God is eternal life. You can go out here today and go get you some whiskey, and you may find a little joy for a time, but it brings forth death. Amen. You may go out there and, as we did the other day, knock on doors in this beautiful Hispanic family with these sweet little children, and it broke my heart. It affected me. It disturbed me. They opened the door and had the little doggies out on the porch, little children playing on the couch, and three adults in there, and the smell of weed coming out of there like they were just lighting the whole house up with it. And the kids are sitting right in there. That's a sin and abomination in the sight of God. Amen, that's right. And they're going to have to make account with that in their heart with God. I'm against that trash, and so is God. Amen. You ought to be sober-minded. Amen. You ought to live for the Lord and give your heart and mind to Christ. Listen, you can live and have a season of joy in sin, but it brings forth spiritual death. This little leper probably was over here scratching at somebody else's troubles and meddling over in places he shouldn't have gone. And a little leprosy latched onto him. It's like going around and hanging around places and listening to music and watching movies. Amen, that's right. I'm going to preach while you're here if that's all right. I want to try to help you. I want to be an encouragement to you. You can't hold hands with the devil and play with pigs and come out smelling clean. If you live in the barn, you'll smell like the barn. Amen, that's right. If you wallow with the pigs, you're going to smell like a pig. Amen, that's right. But if you give your heart and life to Christ, He'll change it for His own glory. Now, you see how bad the condition... Brother Stephen, do you see the condition of the man?
Yes.
Okay, that's all I want y'all to see, the condition of the man. Now let's look at some other things. In the Bible, we know that in the Old Testament, there were three lepers that were given by name. There's a story where Moses, while he was talking to the burning bush, God was speaking to Moses through the burning bush. Moses said, Lord, I can't do what you're asking me to do to go lead these people out of Egypt. I'm not qualified, blah, blah, blah. He gives all these excuses, right? And God says, reach out your hand. Moses reaches out his hand and or puts it in here in his bosom. It says and he pulled it back out and it turned white leprosy. I probably would have passed out right there. I need Courtney to come over there and inject me with some serum to wake me back up, Brother Rhodes. That would have freaked me out. And it did Moses. And God said, Put your hand back in your bosom again. And he put it in there, that leper's hand. He pulled it back out and it was like a little baby skin, all healthy and white and clean, or good, healthy and clean. And Lord was showing him, I can do miraculous things. Trust in me, Moses. I will provide. And any excuse that you have, my power will overdo. And God did all the plagues on Egypt. Amen. Do you remember that? And God did a wonderful thing because of Moses' faith in God. Not in his own strength, but in God's strength. There's another situation where Moses' sister Miriam, and actually his brother Aaron, were some of the leaders in Israel. Y'all listen carefully, I want to tell you something. While Moses was leading the people of Israel through the wilderness over into the promised land, something real bad happened. Moses was a meek man. He was very patient, very nice. He was very nice, meek. He had a controlled temperament. He didn't let things make him often do. And he had the ability to snap, didn't he? Because he killed a man in the Bible. And you know, he could snap, but he became a very meek man. God changes our temperaments for His glory. But Moses' sister and brother began to haggle the man of God. They began to attack the man of God, began to attack his wife. Begin to attack his family. And you know what God did? Miriam turned leprosy. She was punished because of her attack on the man of God. Y'all better be careful what you say about other preachers. And I do too. God has a way of getting settling the score, don't he? But that's a biblical story. And what happened? She was ostracized from the community for 7 whole days. Even though she cried and asked and said, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I take it all back. I'm sorry, I should have never said that. God says, you're going to suffer for 7 days for what you've done. See, when we sin and cause bad words to come out of our mouths, it don't just affect us and our family, it affects the whole congregation. And so God had to deal with that publicly because they were making an issue publicly. That's the second time. But there's a third story with Naaman. How many of y'all know about Naaman in the Old Testament? Oh, he come to that prophet to be saved, to be cleansed, to be healed, and he was a pagan. He didn't believe in Jehovah. But something about that prophet out there in that cave, and the miracles he had did, and the gospel that he preached, if you would, he was willing to at least get close to there and send his servant to get some instructions on how to get things right in his life. And Elijah, if it was, I'm sure which one it was, I'm just saying Elijah. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. It may be somebody else, but I thought it was Elijah. Am I right on that? Was it Elijah? Elisha, thank you, Brother Mike. That was going to be my second guess. So he went to Elisha. And Elijah didn't come out and talk with him. He said, you need to go do this. Go baptize yourself 7 times in that Jordan River. Oh, no, not the Jordan River. There's all kind of cleaner waters out here. Why this old, nasty, disreputable Jordan River? He's not going to do it. He's too good to be baptized in that Jordan River. He was too good to obey the Word of God. He had better ideas and better plans and better methods. So he was going to leave leprosy. But eventually his servant began to talk with him and said, Naaman, listen, if he would have asked you to do anything else, you would have done it. Just go do it. Just do what he said. Just take that step and God will meet you. And that man went in that water, and he stood there, and he baptized himself all the way under 7 times, and he came out clean. So there's some Old Testament illustrations of people who had leprosy. And there's others, but those are some that have names. Now this man here, I wonder what his name was. I wonder what his situation was. I wonder, did he have kids? Did his leprosy get him to where he couldn't even be around his own kids? Sin will take you a lot of bad places and take a lot of good people away from you. There's a lot of people today because of sin in their lives. They're hurting the ones that love them the most. Amen, that's right. I wonder what this man's family life was like. I wonder what was going on through his heart and mind. I want you to know something. He believed that if he could just get to this miracle worker Jesus, if he could just get to Capernaum, if he could just get to the Sea of Galilee, if he could get close to this Jesus, something could change for the better in his life. Amen. The Bible says that he came to him, and I want you to see this. Jesus had compassion on them. Number one, the compassion of Christ. He came to the Lord. He fell before the Lord. He got on his hands and knees. I could just see him coming in. Everybody's walking away. The disciples told the little children and the women and children, y'all need to get away from the Lord. You need to back up. You need to back up. But when this leper came, you don't see them saying nothing, man. They was backing up. Oh, snap. This dude's got leprosy. And all that man was doing, he was trying to get to Jesus. Bible says when he saw Jesus, he knelt down and he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I can't get the medicine for my problem. I can't read enough self-help books to satisfy my problem. There ain't no program in this world that's going to satisfy my problem. My wife can't help me no more. The motivation to get right is with kids. That don't matter to me no more. But Lord, if you're willing, it's totally up to you. If you would be willing to change me, then I can be clean. But that's all up to you. Salvation is of the Lord. I can't make myself saved. I can't go get baptized, and if I get baptized, it washes away my sins. That ain't how it works. It's totally up to Him. Would you be willing to come to Him? Would you be willing to lay aside your self-righteousness? Would you be willing to lay it aside? You have a bigger problem of sin than what you're willing to admit most of the time. But I want you to see this man. Oh, buddy, he did at this point. All I got to do is just get to Jesus. Y'all get out of my way. I need to go to Christ. Amen. And he knelt right there. Boy, that took some faith. I was 9 years old when I got saved. Grew up, my dad is a pastor. I've seen people be baptized. I was won the prizes at Vacation Bible School for memorizing Bible verses. I have seen ladies stand up and testify and weep and cry about being saved in the gospel. And I've seen all of these things. And I respected the Bible. I respected church. But there was something of a disorder in my heart that was not taken care of. And I remember at the age of 9, sitting in the back seat of the car after church one night, my brother, my sister were in the car, And I just seemed to push them out of the way. And I said, Dad, I don't want to die and go to hell. I was making my way to the Lord. I was taking steps to Jesus. We went into that house. He opened up that King James Bible and showed me from the Bible how I can be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You must pray and call upon Christ and believe upon Him as your Savior, and He'll save you, son. And right then and there, I cried my eyes out. Lord, save me, save me, save me. Come into my life and take me home to heaven when I die. And something immediately happened right then and there. Immediately. And I still remember that when I was 9 years old. And all of you who have been saved, whatever age or stage you were when you gave your heart and life to Christ, you know that there was a time in your life when He saved you. You couldn't save yourself, your mama, your daddy, your grandma, and my friend, I'm sorry to break the bad news. If that's what you're trusting in to get you to heaven, that's like trusting in straw. It's going to burn up and it's not going to hold you. You better be holding unto the unseen hand, amen. The Lord Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. Bible says in verse 41, Jesus moved with compassion. Man, I just preach on every little sentence and comment in this whole passage, but we got to get through this thing. Moved with compassion. Compassion. Jesus has compassion, friends. And He's moved by His compassion. His sympathies towards you. His love towards you. His pity towards you. When He saw this man come to Him, He didn't say, "Now hold on, stop, you can't come any further." He didn't say, "Disciples, come deal with this ignorant fool." He didn't say, "Let's get him scheduled up on the schedule here." No, that's not what happened, is it? He was moved with compassion. Something inside of his heart just began to bleed out for this poor sinner, for this poor leper. And he put forth his hand and did something that the law forbade anybody to ever do. He did something this man had not felt in a long, long time. A compassionate touch. This man has not been able to feel the hugs of his sweet kids. This man has not felt the kiss of his precious wife. This man, if anybody would poke at him with a stick, maybe a little kid would throw a rock at him. He had never felt the compassionate touch. But when he came to Jesus, the Lord reached out His compassionate, loving hand and touched this old leper. And he said, "I will. I am willing." God is not willing, the Bible says, that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. God wills for you to be saved. He wills for you to be saved this morning. He desires for you to be saved. It's not a matter of what He wills at this time. It's what you are willing to do with it. If Jesus was standing here and you could see the real condition of sin in your soul as a lost person, the leprosy of sin in your life, if Jesus Himself were standing here, would you get out of your seat and do what this man did? "Oh no, that's too easy for me. No, I gotta crawl up some steps on my hands and knees and get some blood and blisters." And people would do that. "No, I've gotta make a journey to go visit a specific relic over in Italy, or I've gotta make this specific journey over here and crawl on some gravel and scuff my knees and elbows and crawl to this relic to be saved." And people would do it. "I've got to join this religious system and clean my life up and take these steps," and people will do it. But I want to tell you, that's not God's method. God's method is what you see illustrated in this precious little story, and you're going to see many, many more through the Gospel of Mark. It's simply coming to Jesus, bowing before Him with a repentant spirit. "Change my life, Christ. I make You my Lord and Savior. I turn from my sin to You. Amen. I can't fix my own disease of sin, but I'm coming for You, to You. I know you're going to change me from the inside out. I make you my Lord and Savior. I confess you to be God. I believe that you are the sinless Son of God, that you bled and died on the cross of Calvary to pay for all my sins, that you were buried and that you rose again to give me life everlasting. I make you my Lord and Savior. That's how you get saved. Jesus is willing for you to be saved. Do you want to be saved this morning? Jesus said, be thou clean. Be thou clean. And it happened. Now notice not only the compassion of Jesus, the change of the leper in verse 42. And as soon as he had spoken, how quickly did it happen?
Immediately.
As soon as he said it. It happened so quickly. As soon as the Lord said, be thou clean, immediately. Anybody could go around and hug this man and touch this man. Anybody could be around and he was made clean in an instant, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's how quickly God saves those sinners. I don't know of any other religion that preaches that, Brother Stephen.
Come on.
Hey, Christianity is not us working our ladder up to heaven. Christianity is Jesus coming down the ladder, becoming a man, dying on the cross, raised again, life everlasting. You believing on Him, that's how you get saved. It's believing on Him. It's laying aside your righteousness or your self-righteousness. It's laying aside your membership. It's laying aside your experience. It's laying aside your granny that's buried in the backyard that you're trusting to get you to heaven at the church. It's laying aside all that religiosity, and it's going all the way to Jesus. He's the bridge. He did the work for us. Praise God. There ain't no other religion that teaches that. There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Better make sure you got the right one, amen? The change happened instantaneously. Man, I could just... Could you imagine seeing that? That's like somebody getting saved, all of a sudden they come to church, they got liquor on their breath, they get their heart right with God, they get saved, they go home, the first thing they do is be thou clean. They dump all that liquor out, amen. They throw all that junk in the trash. They're on a new journey. Somebody gets saved. God, them drugs and pills that they've been popping, all that wickedness that they live in, that's just a form of leprosy. While they come to church, they may not even be halfway in their right mind. But Jesus is able to deal with their heart. They're able to listen to that preaching, and it gets them under conviction. Something's not right. There's something wrong. I'm in sin. I need to get saved. I'm going to go to hell if I don't. So praise God, they walk that aisle, and they make Christ the Lord of their life. Well, they go home, and they throw that trash into the trash where it belongs, and they are clean in the sight of the Lord. God, when He saves a man, He saves him from the inside out. Listen, friend, if you're trying to work your salvation from the outside in, that's not the way God works it. You'll never be in a position where you can say, Lord, now I work so hard, I'm in a position to be saved. That's not how it works. You're never, never too far gone that you can't be saved. And you're never too close that you need not be saved. No matter what situation, stage, or age you're in your life, ye must be born again, the Bible says. The change is immediate. When I got saved, I got up on my hands and knees. We had a little basketball goal we got from the Salvation Army. I had a little deflated soccer ball. That was my basketball. And our bedroom was down a little three-bedroom house. My bedroom was shared with my other two brothers. It was in the back corner over here. This is just how I got saved, what happened to me. My dad had a giant belly. He was a little heavy on the at that point in his life. He was a large man, about 6'3", well over two, right around 250, I'd say. Had that gut sticking out in that narrow hallway, and I got up. Oh, man, I felt so good. Just all them tears and everything. I just got it all taken care of right there. And I was going back to my room. I was so happy. Oh man, it was just like the light seemed brighter. The trees were shining greener. Amen. It just seemed like the stars were, everybody knew that I got saved. Man, it was like a special night. And he bumped me with his belt and he said, "How do you feel, son?" And I grabbed that soccer ball and I said, "Dad, I feel like I got power." And I ran into the room and I slammed the ball as hard as I could without injuring myself. You know what? Something happened to me that day. Amen. Immediately, instantaneously, a change happened. I was saved. Forever. Have you been saved? Has your life been changed? We'll say, "Brother, I know I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ, but man, I just have a hard time with it. I'm having a hard time staying on the right path." And well, we all do. But the question I'm asking is, have you been saved? Have you made the Lord Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? Number three, this I found interesting. The charge of the Lord. Verse 43 and 45, "And straightly charged him." He saved him. He healed him. Now he charged him. What does that mean? It means he gave him some commandment. What was the commandment? "See thou say nothing to any man." Now, does that not strike a little bit of an opposite to your mind? Because when you get saved, you're supposed to tell everybody, right? When you get saved, the first reaction is, "Hey, I want everybody to know I got saved." Why did Jesus not? Here's why. I want you to listen to this very carefully. Sister Andrew, you come on. He said, "But go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." God wanted him to do it the legal way at that time when you had leprosy to fulfill the law of Moses. In Luke, in Leviticus chapter 14, there were certain steps that you took to be pronounced clean legally. Now you say, "What in the world does this even matter?" I want you to notice something, okay? In the Jewish church, which we're not a part of, in the sense that we're living in the Old Testament, he had to go and do certain things. And Christ did not come to destroy the law, did he? He came to fulfill the law. He crossed every T and dotted every I to the very jot and tittle. He fulfilled the law. Jesus did not come to destroy, but to fulfill the Old Testament law. And the Old Testament law is, there were certain things you had to do when you were to be pronounced clean legally by the church. You had to go and present yourself to the priest, and there were certain steps and things that he'd do. And Jesus wanted him to do that. Now, he said, "For a testimony unto them." Guess what people group initiated the crucifixion? The people that this man was supposed to go and be a witness to go and be a testimony to. Guess what group of people were the ones that were largely involved in the betrayal of Christ and the crucifixion of Christ? The very people that this man should have gone to and been a testimony to. He was supposed to go to them and say, "Hey, my name's John Smith. We know who you are, John Smith. You look different. Yes, I had leprosy, as you all very well know, but I was over in Capernaum last week. Jesus of Nazareth was there, the great," and they just starts crying. "I got saved. He changed my life. He healed me. He wanted me to come over here as a testimony to you good people to show you what happened. And I give him all the credit. I give him all the glory. I give Jesus all the praise. He made the difference for me." But he never did. He never did. You know, when you get saved, God wants you to go. And he wants you to be a testimony. Now, the man wasn't a total loss, because the Bible says he went and he told. He didn't go where the Lord told him to go, but he went everywhere else. He said he went everywhere else and he blazed abroad the matter. Man, he was going to Hometown Pizza and saying, "Hey, y'all don't know me, but I used to be a leper. That Jesus of Nazareth down in Galilee, he saved me." Yeah, man, he made a huge deal out of it. He's going out to save a lot, get him some groceries. He went over with his kids and his wife, and they're saying, "Man, weren't you John Smith out there on the outside of town?" "Yeah, I was, man. Jesus saved me. He made the difference for me. Look at that. Feel that right there. Feel my skin right there. Look at this right here. Look at this right here. Look at my..." And rolled up. I mean, he made a big deal about it. He went to the mayor's office and said something about it. He went to the police office and said something about it. Man, he just made a huge deal. He became a gospel preacher about it. He blazed abroad the whole matter. Amen. Have you made a big deal about the big deal he's made in you? Jesus couldn't go out into these towns anymore because there were so many people he had to go out to the desert places so they can come to him in these large crowds. As she plays, I want to give three concluding thoughts. Number one, you need to come to Jesus this morning. Do what this man did. If you've done that, you've been saved. You need to do what this man should have done. Obey the Lord. In every detail, in every charge and command he gives, obey him. How do I get victory over sin in my life? It's simple. Obey him. Obey him. Will, it's hard. I understand that. Pray about it. Surround yourself with the right groups. Take away the sins and distractions out of your life so you can strengthen your Christian life. Obey him in all things and you'll get victory. As we sang about, victory in Jesus. Amen. That's right. That's good. Now I'm going to say another thing. Make it public. Make it public. If you go to a public school, somebody asks, are you a Christian? Do they know that you're a Christian? It's easy for me. Yeah, you like it or you don't. I'm a Christian. I'm going to try my best to live for the Lord, be a blessing and a help to my fellow man, both here and across the sea. I'm not ashamed of the Lord. I don't want to be. Do you? Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed.